which we're going to start calling a planetary healing hour. And for those of you that are listening for the first time, we're having a simulcast. We have, probably 30 people on a telephone that all checked in, and you can hear them slamming doors in the background. And we have you who are listening on DVS radio. And this call has been going for over a year and a half. I think I'm going to mute everybody. No, I won't. Not quite yet. Well, unless you're not, to bring you back in. This call has been going on for over a year and a half on the telephone line. And it was started out as an experiment. And it's still an experiment. So all of you who are listening are taking part in an experiment. And the experiment is, can we, in this hour, transcend space and time, connect with each other, and connect with those forces on the other side that are positive, that want to connect with us, and we should want to connect with them. And if you don't know why you should, as you listen to the call, maybe it will become more evident. So just to let you know, we do really do have some people on the telephone line, and I'll explain to you in just a moment the reason why we do this. It's just part of how we started, and so it's just a continuation. But even though I'm talking, this is a group effort. I am just the moderator, so to speak, and I'm coordinating energies. And each of you has the opportunity to be a part of the energy of this call. And you will either choose to or not to as the time goes on. And just to prove that we're on a conference line, I'm going to unmute everybody. So, you guys on the line, we did this last week, and it was very corny, so we can do it again. So say hello to all the people listening on the internet. Hello, BBS.
Hello, people.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Howdy.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
Hello, people.
Hello.
Welcome.
Okay. Now, you're listening to a group of people all over the United States. I don't know, maybe some of them are in other countries, because that happens sometimes. And somehow or another, we discovered each other. They may have heard me give a talk somewhere. They may have heard me on the Don and Wynn show. They may have sat next to me in Starbucks or some coffee shop. But regardless, somehow, we've all, by some sense of serendipity and synchronicity, come together. And most of them read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I am the principal author of that book. And the book is a case study of a young man who has a very good set of circumstances linking him to the sleeping prophet Edgar Cayce, who died in 1945. But more than being connected with Edgar Cayce, and most probably the reincarnation of Cayce, there's another aspect to his story which is far more important. And that is the introduction of this group soul who allegedly was speaking through Edgar Cayce and now is speaking through David Wilcock. And their explanation for who they are, how the universe works, what's going on our planet, and how we can do something about it. So if they are right, then we're in a period where many people feel helpless. What can I do? It's overwhelming. And through the course of this call, we'll be sharing things that every single person can do to make a difference over these next few years. Make a difference for both themselves and for the planet. And there's things that I'll be sharing that are outside of your ability to personally validate, and I'm going to suggest that you don't believe me. You might just consider the possibility, but I hope if you haven't read the book, or we have a free ebook called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, I would say please read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Read the ebook. It's all written in such a way that it doesn't say, here, believe this. It creates a case, it creates a circumstance, it creates a credibility that you still may not believe it when you're finished, but at least you should know the facts and the circumstances before you make a decision. And truthfully, what's most important about this is not what you believe. If you believe something, even if it's true, and you don't resonate with it, you haven't connected with it energetically, it would be the same as just being a religious fanatic. So this is not religious fanatics. These are not things to believe because I say them or because you've read them in a book. There's a mystery that some of the pieces are solved, and people that are studying it are finding that's true. So if you're listening for the first time, I would urge you to see if it works for you, if there's a mystery solved for you. Also, there's an energy connected with this work. There's an energy about everything about it. Not my energy. I'm just, as I said, a moderator, so to speak. I'm here talking, and there's energies that are paying, that I believe have made themselves known to me and are paying attention to me, and because you're listening, they're paying attention to you. And if you sit down and be very quiet, you may be able to feel those energies in your space. And that's kind of a validation in itself, when you can feel energy. You know, the way the universe works, according to the way that I've come to understand it, is that we are all in physical bodies, and we each have a matrix attached to our body. And our matrix has the potential, an energy matrix that has the potential of going from our body right back to the original source of creation. But very few of us ever have that experience. So the question is, how far does your matrix go? Well, most people on this planet, their matrix would be fairly earthbound, close to the planet, in the energy field of the Earth. Some people that expand beyond that. Some people expand into each other. Our energies are all fluid and mutable, so my energy can connect with your energy. Now, most often that happens when people are in the same room, when they're making love. We all, I won't say we all, but many of us have had that experience when we're being intimate with another person, that there's a huge transfer of energy. Many of us have had the experience of sitting in a room where a spiritual event is occurring, and you could feel the energy around that room amongst everybody. Some of you have had the experience of walking into a room that nothing was going on, and yet it had spiritual events in it, and the energy was still there, and you could feel the energy. So, really, our life is all about, where is our energy? How big is our matrix? And in one way or another, everyone is reaching to make their matrix bigger. And they don't have to understand spirituality. Even if it's a guy in the ghetto that wants to join the local gang, when he joins the local gang, he feels a sense of camaraderie, he feels a sense of belonging, and his energy expands and connects with all those other energies of the people in the local gang. When you walk in a neighborhood, it's a nice neighborhood, you can feel the coherence of all the vibrations. Things are very aesthetic and in place. The neighborhood is proud of itself. Everyone in that neighborhood has a certain interlinking of energies that have created that ambience when you walk through the neighborhood. And once that ambience is created, it's very hard to stop. It stays. And if the ambience isn't there, it's really hard to get started. Somebody has to have the idea and a vision, and they do something. Maybe they make a park, and they call all the neighbors and say, let's make a park. And suddenly everyone cooperates. Suddenly there's a new energy in that neighborhood, not because of the park, but because of the cooperation of all the people that said, let's do this. So what we're doing on this conference call is making a park. We are all joining together, but we're not making a park in the physical. We're making it in the metaphysical. And we are all, my intent, and this has happened week after week, I don't make it happen, I just have the intent for it to happen, is that those of us on this call can experience an interlinking of our energies and feel each other's space. Now, of course, we're strangers. Many of you don't know each other. The people that are on the line every week know each other, and the people that are on the internet, we could say you're a stranger, but then the question is there any such thing as a stranger? Do we not all connect on some level? Even though we can't see your body right now, even though you can't see my body, there's a part of you that exists outside of your body. And I can't even see that. Some people may be able to say they can see that, but I can't. But I can feel it. I can feel the energy. And when I talk about these things, other people can sense that there's a shift happening. If you noticed when I talked about that just then, some of you noticed something shift. Now, I didn't change. I'm talking, and I noticed it, though, because I noticed energy. Something shifted, and I would postulate, to some extent, we have then started this interlinking of energies between us. Now, it's more challenging to do it on a phone line than it is in person. It's easier to do it when you're in a room and there's a bunch of people sitting down because our energies are stronger closer to our body. And so it's easier to get a group energy. But the problem with that is when you go home, and many of you might have had this experience, you've gone to endless weekend events of really high energy, you feel all uplifted, and you go home, and you go back to your old patterns, because you don't carry that energy back with you, unless you do. And what we're doing is we're creating an opportunity to feel that energy in your home, in which case, it's where you live. And if you shift, it becomes a permanent shift. It doesn't become temporary, like a weekend feeling great energy. Most people, maybe I could say all people, when you're in your home, you carry your shadow side with you. And so one of the obstacles to experience energy is one's own shadow. And by being in your home and allowing yourself to feel this energy, just as if a group of people get together in a church or in a spiritual gathering, and when they get together and feel that energy, the energy sticks even when they're not in the room. If you can feel that energy in your home, when this call is over, and this may not happen after the first call. It may not happen after the 10th call. But if you can feel the energy on this call and you keep coming to these calls, then you are going to change the vibration in your home. And eventually, you're going to start existing at a higher level of energy matrix than you did before. And I say this because I've watched it happen for the people that have been coming into the call over and over and over again. And over 6 months or a year, suddenly the problems they had previous are no longer there. Now, in this call, I'm going to make a hypothesis that not only are all of us tying our energies together and creating a group energy in another dimension, but we have these other visitors to our own energies, which I've learned to identify as these two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group. And that my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, makes the premise that it was this Ra group soul who was speaking through Edgar Cayce. And this group soul is composed of graduates of this realm spread out throughout the cosmos who act as a huge team to help planets at lower levels of evolution. And then there's the hypothesis made that this group soul has been one of those forces that has been recognized as God throughout our history. And they really are kind of an in-between agent of all that is and us. And in past times, it was far too complex to explain this rather sophisticated view of the cosmos. So when they would talk to a prophet, when they would talk to someone who was going to be an emissary of theirs, they just said they were God. And the other group soul is the Elohim. And of course, many of you have studied my story and know that they started talking to me while I was writing the book, and through two girlfriends in a row, having miracles, future predictions. Now, you know, some of this stuff, you have to be a little bit like a detective and an investigator, because how do you know they're telling the truth? How do you know you can trust them? And I'm not going to answer those questions on this call completely, except I'll say that I was extremely careful. I studied it, I felt it, I asked questions, I looked for cross-references in the world, I cross-referenced it with religious texts. There was a complete congruity of everything. There were no missing links. And with that being said, I still don't believe their words blindly. If I can't validate something for myself, then I consider the possibility, but I don't adapt it as true because they said it. And I say, well, how does it help me to know that information? And during this call, we're going to be talking about some things which are controversial and that I can't validate, and which I don't usually bring up on this call because it's so controversial, I'm not sure the impact of talking about it publicly. But this is a small group. We're a family here. My experience is something I'm sharing with you, and we've been sharing it for many months now. So I wanted to talk a bit about ascension. And I'm going to play a couple of channelings, because part of the premises of these group souls is they're talking about this division of souls, where there's going to be a splitting. The earth is raising its vibration, and there's going to be a division where, in order to go to this higher level, your heart has to be open, slightly more than half. And this is not a religious thing. This is a metaphysical thing. It has to do with the earth is going to have a new energy vibration. So will your energy fit into the energy of the earth? Because if it doesn't, they say you can't come back to earth. You end up being moved to another planet in another star system to start over. So this next few years is probably if this is true, is the most crucial few years in the history of mankind. And no one knows that this is happening. And of course, I may be wrong, so you have to figure out if it's true or not. It very much connects with Jesus, but not from a religious standpoint, from a esoteric metaphysical standpoint, where if I have things right, Jesus was connected to these two groups, both, and particularly the Ra group, and he was making these connections in his own life, not starting a religion, but creating a vibration in his life and around him. And he came in to anchor this energy interdimensionally and also to prepare mankind for this period we're in now, which many people are talking about, a dimensional shift, the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And the Elohim group, I said who the Ra group were, I'm jumping around, the Elohim group is a group that was outside of this dimension and kind of beams into it from outside of time. And the Ra group flows through it. So, let me see here. We have about 15 minutes of channelings that I was going to share. One of them, let me just tell you what we did last Saturday. And if you ever want to participate in one of these, you can send an email off of our website to any email address you see on the website, and somebody will contact you. What I have been learning how to do, and how to do with other people, is to take advantage of these very energies we're talking about and create group energies. If we take a moment, we can feel them on this line. You can shut your eyes. And if you don't feel it, don't feel bad. Sometimes you have to come back often to get through your own patterns to feel it. But if you shut your eyes, just imagine this energy coming off the top of your head and expanding to all those other people on the line. And then we have these group souls, and we invite them to join our energy. Some of you are feeling this in your space. And I'm not doing it. I'm just being a moderator. I've learned they're paying attention to me, though. So when I ask them, they show up. They want to connect with people. They've been trying to do this for thousands of years. This connection is part of the liberation of yourself from this realm. How does the Ra group help a planet of lower levels evolve? How do they do that? They do it by connecting with your energies. But you have to ask them, because they don't violate free will. And when they connect with your energies, then you suddenly start living in a much more expanded state. And in a more expanded state, you start experiencing life from the point of view of compassion, where you see everything as part of yourself. And you flow through life, through the energies that are all around you, more than through the physical that's all around you. It's not easy, but there's people that have done it. You'll know when you're doing it because suddenly your life has all these synchronicities, this magic to it. People call you just at the moment you were thinking of them. Many of the people on this line that have been on it for a while have noticed a huge increase in those kinds of phenomena in their life. Now, in between, from where you are to where that happens, there's what you could call a huge obstacle course or a dark night of the soul. Because if you're going to connect with these energies on an ongoing basis, you have to roto-root your old patterns. You have to roto-root your trauma. You have to roto-root your reality system that you've become accustomed to. Because if you're thinking about it, if you're fearful, you can't have this experience. Or you can't have it on an ongoing basis. You can have it in a moment. You can have it sitting in a room with spiritual people, and the vibration rubs off on you. But if you want to integrate it as part of your life, you have to be prepared to let go of all the things that you've held on to that would block this experience, because we're opening to a new energy. And if the energy is going to come into you, there has to be some space. And if there's no space, the energy can't come in. Space comes by letting go. You know, each of us has something we could let go of. Let go of your need for recognition. Let go of your loneliness. Let go of your mind trying to understand everything. Let go of your poverty. The way to start this process is by intention. You can't tell these things to go, and they go, if they don't. But they will follow your intention. And so you have to start intending that you change. And you have to keep yourself involved in uplifted energies, because those energies become a reference point constantly to help that change occur. Now, there's a particularly important reason to go through those changes now, because, as I said earlier, if I'm correct, we are in a dimensional shift, and there is going to be a division of souls. Those that upgrade to this new compassionate earth, and those that start over on another planet in another star system. Now, truthfully, the way they explain it to me, from the highest realm of God, it really doesn't matter which path you take, because eventually you'll get there. And we certainly have all come from a track record, most of us, where we've had hundreds or thousands of lifetimes in this realm, and many of those lifetimes were probably not that pleasant, but we don't remember them, and we come back and forth between other dimensions and this dimension, and we got stuck here. So what they're explaining is this is an opportunity to get unstuck and free yourself, or to go through another round of being stuck. And maybe another round might be another 100,000 years, 200,000 years, I don't know. I'm going back and forth between being an energy in a body and an energy in a body. Now, of course, this is stuff that I can't validate to you. This is where you have to say, is David Wilcock Edgar Cayce, does this fit with Jesus? How does it all come together? And this is where it's important for you to read my book and do your own research. And I'm not the only one saying this. There are, you know, as I was having my initial experiences, I did all kinds of Google searches saying, I can't be the only one in the world coming up with this. So when we are here and we commune with each other and we commune with these group souls and we commune with the earth, actually is starting to create a hologram of oneness, because we are one in the highest aspect, but we don't know that. We feel separate. We take a moment of oneness. When we have oneness, we suddenly start healing everything around us. Our vibration changes. We walk into a room and people feel a shift. It's not because you're smiling or being happy or cheery or anything. You are carrying and anchoring an energy that changes the vibrations around you, no matter what you do. And right now, you're changing the vibrations. Those of you that are feeling the energy in your home, in your neighborhood, you're expanding. And if there's enough people doing this, guess what? We've changed the planet. Unfortunately, we don't have that many people doing it. Most people are totally defocused from this aspect of their lives and are running around either trying to get rich or being afraid or fighting with their relatives or all the things that humans do to keep them preoccupied from noticing that they are part of all that is and they're a divine being in a human body. One of the things we do every so often is we do a grid healing on Saturday morning, and all these things started inadvertently. And I was just driving across the country with Daphne, and we said, let's go to New York and ask them if it would be good to go to the World Trade Center, and they said that would be a good idea. Then we went, and we got everybody on the conference line, we called in the light, and they said that was a great idea. So we've been doing this every so often. This past Saturday, Wesley, who lives in Mountain View, Wesley and Diane, said, let's do a grid healing. And the way it works is people would all drive to different locations. And while we're on the phone, they would be driving, and they'd go to a location, and we would call in the light at that location and anchor a column there. And I tell you, those of us on the call this Saturday could feel the energy. It was like we were all lightning rods, and we were beaming energy across San Francisco, across Berkeley, and it's something that you have to experience and feel. It's hard to believe and put into words, but we did have a channeling on it that Terry did, and it's a short 2-minute thing that I excerpted, and I hope Seth is paying attention, because it's the one that says grid healing impact. And if he's ready to play Grid Healing Impact, that's MP3. Let's see if this works. Seth, are you there? Hello, Seth.
Today's a shift, and it is, as we look at your spirit, it is placing negative all over your
connection
and story of your partner, and we are having to encompass and evade the negativity in the sphere. That is part of the reason that you feel negative in this space with the individuals over you. As you hear the
voice. Are you there? Pick up the phone. Hello, Seth.
We do not know the English word. If there is an English word for
are feeling about this grid healing, the closest we can come to express it is our heart felt. It's like a satisfying of a giant need within the earth. As the earth yearns and the particles of the fields yearn for love, and the love drifts aside and is overtaken by energies that are not of it, is foreign to it, is divisionalized, is separated from the field and making divisions and divisions and more divisions. And this is bringing back together a sustenance that is almost like a food to the health of the areas where you do the grid healing.
Would it be a good idea to have Daphne and her mother do a grid healing in East Sandwich?
Something different today, and Seth is picking us up from the conference call, so I just realized that it won't come over the conference call unless I unmute everybody. It makes it noisier on the call, so excuse me for the extra noise, and I'll try to figure out a way to do it on the next clip we play so that that doesn't occur. Let's see here. I'm just putting on conference call. Testing 1, 2. Testing. Sorry for this. Okay. So, let me get back to the Elohim. I said this was going to be controversial. Well, this Elohim contact has been going on for 5 years for me. And when it first started, I would say that I didn't know they were who they said they were. I didn't know that I could trust them. I didn't know that I could believe them. And in fact, both of the women who were channeling were probably worse than me. They were both very skeptical. And I was not jumping to conclusions. My initial approach was to run a tape recorder, stack all these tapes up. One day I would decide, is this real or not? And of course, those of you that have, know the story know that I had a miracle with my sister. I had some very accurate future prognostications where they predicted a newspaper headline. They predicted the people being homeless, 50,000 people being homeless along the coast and around Louisiana. And of course, that happened 2 years later. I was watching all these things come about. And they were confirming everything that was in the book I was writing on ascension. And ascension is a wild concept because ascension is the idea that you were going to leave this realm in your body and arrive in another realm. And of course, it's the word Jesus used, which is his word for rapture. And in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the Ra group was talking about ascension. It's the first time in modern times that I ever heard anyone use that word. And then, 2 years later, when I'm having these conversations with this voice that identifies itself as the Elohim, after having a miracle, after having some very accurate prognostication, after having a lot of very wise counseling for myself and for the people around me, they were explaining ascension exactly as it was being explained in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And this was the hardest thing. I realized this is something that if you're listening now and you could imagine in your farthest dreams that your body's going to disappear from this realm and end somewhere else, your mind does not want to assimilate that. And it maybe doesn't even want to believe it. I mean, you know, what about your children? What about your job? What about your husband? How does all this work? Well, I asked hundreds of questions about this, in between questions about everything else, and I got a lot of amazing answers. And one of the things I was going to play tonight at 7:15, and this one thing is 9 minutes, so we got to play it right away, is the question, one of the questions, one of the sessions of questions on ascension. Let me open this up. Now, you guys that are on the phone, if you could push *6, because I have to leave you unmuted. And if Seth, if you could play the clip that says ascension question.
Okay, next question. This is an important question and something I don't completely understand. And it has to do with ascension. And it has to do with the question is there another dimension which is operating right now as a parallel Earth in a higher dimension with beings on it already, where when one ascends from this planet, do they end up immediately there? And how does that relate to the future of planet Earth, this planet that we're on right now, moving into the fourth dimension? Does a person then return here? Do they go into a holding space? Is there a way I could understand that a little better?
The frequency of Earth is increasing, and it will be this Earth that will move into a parallel dimension. On a gradient, it will move in to a higher dimension. The Earth needs love and care. Its own survival. Particulars have not been worked out totally because there are too many variables. It's imperative that the Earth move into an equal plane where the vibration extending through all has a greater majority of love and care for the survival and good of all.
But it's been my understanding that people will disappear from this planet in that process called ascension over a period of time. And a time window. So where do they go when they disappear? if they're not moving into another place that exists in another dimension.
You're referring to phrases like one will be taken and one will be left?
Yeah. When the one is taken, where does it go?
There's this one may. Merge this frequency with a higher frequency and then become un. They become aware, focused in the other frequency rather than this frequency, and move into another realm in that manner, and thus appear to disappear from this realm. One such place you call heaven.
That they take their body with them, as opposed to the normal way that works?
In such a case, this is possible that they would take their body with them as a higher, moving it into the higher frequency, and is another possibility is that they would leave their body here, and that as the spirit, they would ascend into the higher realm without their body. For the physical body to move into the higher frequency with the soul requires a different set of postulates and synchronization of energies, which is also possible.
Well, in most of the stuff we've asked previously, it's been said that the body would move into this other realm. And, of course, that's what Jesus implied. Also, if the body stays behind, does that mean the body is going to be dead? I can't imagine a body being alive. In other words, can a soul ascend and leave a live body behind it?
That is also possible, that it could leave a live body behind it, which then the body may... It is more likely that the body would die, but it is also possible that the body would be impaired, leave a live body behind with a striking decrease in intelligence. It is more likely that the body at that point would die.
Could someone else inhabit the body at that point?
Yes.
Is that likely?
It's more likely that the body would die, or that there would be some circumstances, some broad circumstances occur that would create body death, and that they prepare soul with thus depart into a whole new area until things were prepared for rebirth.
In what year could we anticipate that this planet would be usable again for rebirth and repopulation?
Between 2017 and 2030.
That's possible. Is it possible some of the old 3D people will still be here?
That is possible.
It is possible?
also in heaven, have it deals with the new people, with the reborn people.
So we would be cohabiting.
Yeah.
How about the idea that those 3D people would be moved to another planet in another star system? Is that still in the plans?
That is more likely after those people pass on. That they will be reborn into another like-minded system where they would be attracted to carry out their karma.
Is that kind of movement orchestrated by Ra and Elohim, or is it orchestrated by the person's own soul, or is it orchestrated by the person's own soul with the assistance of the higher forces?
It all plays together in that all is one, and that it is orchestrated by the higher forces, and with their assistance of the own soul too, because that is what they choose in order to work through their issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're 1 minute over. I'd like to say goodnight to the BBS audience. We usually call in the lights before we did, but I didn't want to stop that tape, so let's do it fast right now. Light. And we'll see you here next week. Keep in mind that what you just heard is a conversation, that I am not telling you any of that is true. I do hope you will investigate my work. Go to higher-vision.org. Please request the free ebook we have, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, and say goodnight to BBS. And we will now continue calling in the light with people on the telephone line and put our own